Next presenter, he's a good friend of mine, Bill Moyer, and he's from the Catholic Men of Central Texas, and he'll tell you what he's doing.
Good afternoon. Or good morning, where I'm from. 10 minutes is a really short time to talk about 12 years, the last 12 years of what's been happening in my life and in the Central Texas area where I'm from, and in the United States where a lot of our amazing things in men's ministry have been happening. So I'm going to give you a short little bits of information just to give you a sense of what's happening there. And God has just done some amazing things. First of all, probably like many of you, I didn't wake up one day and say, you know, I'd really like to go out and minister to other men. I came into the church after 10 years of marriage and a major conversion experience that I'll tell you at another time. To the delight of my wife after 10 years of marriage, to have this godly husband instead of this worldly husband just was a life changer for us. After that time, I moved from Pennsylvania to Waco, Texas, an area where it's hard to be Catholic, and really grew in my faith. And God called me to what up to that point was maybe, other than marriage and children, the best thing that ever happened to me, called me to minister to youth, to youth ministry. Spent 14 years, along with my wife, working with high school teens, going to retreats, conferences, national conferences. In fact, spoke at many of those. Loved that more than almost anything that I've ever experienced. But one day, after 14 years of spending that time with young people, sitting in adoration in a holy hour, God very clearly spoke to me and said, your time is finished with that. I want you to go be a fisher of men. I want you to go out and minister to men. And if you've ever, any of you have ever worked with young people, you would answer the same way as I did. I said, God, I don't even like men very much. Most of your kids have cried on my shoulder about their fathers not being present in their life. So that gave me certain attitudes. I had a father who wasn't present in my life as well, so I really understood that. So I went in kind of kicking and screaming when he called me to that. Now that was 1 a.m. on a Friday morning. That Sunday morning, after Mass, a good friend of mine, a new convert to the faith, Robert Tunmeyer, came and tapped me on the shoulder and said, in my prayer last night, God told me that we're supposed to start a men's ministry here in our parish, and he told me you're supposed to help me. So we sat down, kind of organized our thoughts. We had no idea how to start. I knew how to start youth ministry, so we said, let's start with there. Men are nothing more than little boys anyway. So it would mostly be the same, and they'll probably make the same excuses about why they're not coming as the kids do, which has proven to be true. So we spent that time, we organized our first group. We put together our leadership team, a team of 12 men that was our leadership team. We spent about 3 months meeting every week just to organize, pray together. We thought 12 was a good number, and if it worked for Jesus, it would work for us. Like Jesus, we lost one of them along the way, we launched our first meeting 12 years ago with 30 men. That group still meets, has met every week for 12 years. And every week we have about 25 to 40 men. It fluctuates, but from that group, since that time, across our diocese is the Diocese of Austin, just one diocese in the United States, we now have from zero, from that first group, we have 29 men's groups that meet every week with over 1,000 men meeting every week, just in one diocese. But God had an even bigger plan. As part of our organization, we found a group that was kind of inspired years before from Promise Keepers in the U.S. called the National Fellowship of Catholic Men, and we brought them in to help us get organized. That's how we got started. Along the way, about a year into that journey, they asked if I would be their executive director and travel around the U.S. helping other men's groups get started. So during that next almost two years, I traveled around the U.S., spoke to over 100,000 men in 23 different states at men's conferences, and then would stay for a few days afterwards to meet with the leadership team and kind of lay out the plan of how to get started. We didn't tell them what they had to do. We just laid out the structure of what was necessary about forming a leadership team just as Jesus did and spending that time together. So I can't encourage you enough that everything rises and falls on leadership. If the leader gets tired and there's not another man to stand next to them and lift them up, Jesus never sent them out in ones, he sent them out in twos, and he kept his leadership team together and made sure. And I think the reason we've had the growth that we've experienced has come just from that. During that time, some amazing things happened that as I was doing a leadership workshop, for our men's groups, we brought all of our men's groups together. I did a leadership workshop, which is my professional background and experience. That's what I've done around the world for about 35 years. I was doing that. My son was with me, who was at that time was right out of college, and we had traveled together and spoken at many conferences. But I asked a question that I always had asked before, but somehow it struck my son in a really powerful way. And the question that I asked was, who has been the spiritual role model in your family? Who has been somebody who's been a great spiritual role model in your life? Only one out of 20 men, three out of 60 that were in the room, chose their father. Most of them chose their mother, their grandmother, a few grandfathers. But for the most part, most of them chose women as their spiritual role model. I looked over and I saw my son counting up the tally when they handed in their answers, and he said, there's only three of you, and one of those is me. So that means there's really only two here. And on the way home after that, he said, I felt like God was calling us, he and I, to go do something about that. So he said, I think we should write a book about fathers and their sons and about fathers being the spiritual role model in the family. And 6 months later, my son and I released this book, which is what we used as we traveled around the country. And it's a book about fathers and their sons and about men being a spiritual role model told in a story, a true story. And it's also a story of forgiveness and reconciliation. So that became kind of our calling card. That's what I used as I traveled in the future. So just a few other things that we have going on that I think are really important, and I wrote them down to make sure I stay in my 10 minutes. I mentioned the National Fellowship of Catholic Men. Just in our diocese and now spreading across the country, in our diocese, besides those 29 groups, we have one annual men's conference. We average about 1,000 men at that conference. It lasts all day. We have three national speakers that are part of that. And then from there, we invite other men. That's for the men that don't come to normal things, to the regular meetings. We have an annual men's mass where we fill a church about this size with our bishop for fathers and their sons to come. And we usually have that around Father's Day. And then we also have an annual retreat for men, mostly for our men that are leaders. From that, we also have a retreat for men from a national that's now an international movement called ACTS. That stands for Adoration, Community, Theology, and Service. And it brings men together for a weekend to come together. And a lot of men who have never experienced the Holy Spirit like that in a really powerful way. And that's spread like wildfire now across the United States. So those are just a few of the things. So when I go anywhere, people ask me, what do you do? And I just show them the little bracelet around my wrist. I even had to kind of clear through security a few times when it sets the alarm off. And I tell them that I'm a fisherman, and I travel because I'm a fisher of men, and my bracelet are fish hooks. that are there. So that's just one little way to identify. Now, last thing that goes along with that, how many of you ever had a hard time getting men? You invite men to come to one of your meetings, and they run the other way when you approach them. Any of you ever have a hard time? In fact, they walk the long way around so they don't have to see you. So we came up with a simple way, and I'll end with this, because lots of men have every excuse in the world why they won't come to our meetings. They don't like to get up in the morning. It's on Saturday, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. They have every excuse in the world. So we ask every man, when we meet them, could you give me 5 minutes or less every day if you never had to go to a meeting? And they always will say yes. Would you give that to God and to help others? So they say yes. So we give them two cards. One card is the steps to be a good Catholic man. And on the back, it has prayers. It has a prayer for the growth of men's fellowship. It also has a prayer to St. Michael for us to pray to defend us. And it takes 5 minutes every day, and we link them with a friend. And every day at 3 o'clock, they do this prayer separately, and then text message, praying hands to be accountable to let the other man know that they prayed for him, and they add any other prayer requests. So they never have to come to a meeting, but we can have prayer partners together. And then the second prayer that we ask them to pray every day is for an increase in vocations to the church, and a special prayer on the other side for our priests and religious, for them to have the courage to stand up for our faith and to be good, godly men. Okay, so I'll end with this last thing. This is kind of our theme of what we've looked for. When we look at what we're trying to accomplish, our vision is very simple. We believe that we're warriors out fighting a battle, and we're going to leave no man behind. We're never going to leave the battlefield any day and leave even one single man behind. So that's our rallying cry. This is a book that we just released, took 5 years to create, came from some of our Protestant brothers, and we wrote a Catholic version of it, and it's a guidebook of how to form men's ministry. We sent a copy of this book to every bishop in the United States with a letter offering our services to help them to come into any diocese and help them get started, and that's starting to spread. Some bishops never read it, but many did, a few, we won't mention any names, we also then sent it in every diocese now, just finished sending it to every priest in every diocese in the United States as well. So we have much work to do. Just use the tools, the resources that we have. Whatever you have, share with everyone else. It's a gift, because nothing comes from us. Everything comes through us. Amen? Okay, so thank you, guys.
I wanted to thank Bill for this testimony, and I wanted to mention that No Man Left Behind Catholic Edition is just on translation into Polish, and end of next week we should have it ready for correction and for printing. Chciałem tylko powiedzieć, że książka Mężczyzna Niepozostawiony w katolickiej edycji jest już na ukończeniu i w przyszłym tygodniu ma być tekst gotowy do korekty, a z końcem roku, mam nadzieję, pokaże się już w druku polska wersja tej książki. Now I wanted to invite Philip. Philip, who will share about Men's Academy. Yeah? Okay, sorry, I wanted to introduce you.
Well, during the singing and praise, when the invocation was made for those to bless each other, Father Raniero Cantalmesa came right up to me and blessed me, so I feel filled with the Spirit now. I was the one who, some of you may have seen it, Andre asked me about 3 months ago to write the open letter for the our meeting here. It's about five and a half pages, and I just want to thank you men for your prayers about that, but also thank you those who have made some contributions toward it. So we hope that letter, which we'll be submitting to bishops, and Andre hopes to present to the Holy Father, if at all possible. So Father Cantalamessa is here to represent the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith. See? Brothers, it really is a joy to be here. I'm not involved so much in the organization of men's groups or things like that. I can hardly organize my living room. My contribution mainly in men's ministry is in the area of content and speaking. About 15 years ago, when I was working on my doctoral dissertation, I did it on papal teaching on the formation of character since Pius XI. It changed my life. It changed the direction of how I see the human person. And I'll never forget one passage. I shared this with the group earlier today. Pius XI said, when he's talking about the education of youth, he said, "It is not sufficient to form a child for their eternal destiny alone. Every child must be formed spiritually, intellectually, morally, physically, emotionally, socially, and I'm forgetting the seventh." And I heard that and I thought, wow, that's quite powerful. And that's a big program of formation. And he says, "And it is incumbent upon priests and educators to develop not just general principles, but these things should be taught with particular norms in mind." And so at that point, I felt a mission, which I used to work mainly in family outreach and the education of children, the formation of children. It eventually became a men's ministry, because as I could see, you know, many things, especially in the States in the last 30, 40 years, was about, well, an emphasis on women, and maybe not wrongly so. But of course, getting our own identity as men, our own mission, our own journey, is vital in today's world, amen? And really, that's why we're all here. 4 years ago, I spoke in Poland for about 10 days, and Andre really knows how to fill up a schedule. And so at the time, I had a small book called Men's Spirituality Starter Manual, which he published in Polish. And it's also published in Latvian also by the men who came. But in it, I outline what I consider the 18 pillars of manliness. Again, trying to make men's ministry very clear in the light of a man's mission, identity, and journey. Because it seems to me as a man moves forward in life, he has three core questions. What do I do? Who am I? And where am I going? How many men have you asked that question to yourself? They're in us by nature because we are to focus on our mission. Who am I? What do I do? Our identity, who am I? And three, our journey, where am I going? Now, of all of these, there's only two elements I want to talk about. But the first in a man's mission, a man is to be a leader, a protector, and a provider in the natural order. And his supernatural mission is to be a priest, a prophet, and a king. I believe one reason we may falter in being priests, prophets, and kings is because our nature, our mission, natural mission as leaders, protectors, and providers is not well-founded. Are y'all following me here? So the better we can get that mission as leader, protector, and provider down and understood and lived and embraced, I believe God will bless us to bring greater fruit into the church. Now, brothers, I want to bring up one important element of this, or rather, as it's related, three important elements. I believe the key reason we are faltering as men, listen, I think this is important. If we say a man is to lead, to protect, and provide, that means in some way or respect, girls, young ladies, should be taught, formed, disposed to be led, to be protected, and to be provided for. But on the contrary, even in good Catholic circles, instead of forming our daughters to be led, we form them to be independent. Instead of forming our daughters to be protected, we form them to be competitive. Instead of our daughters being formed to be provided for, we form them to be self-sufficient. And I believe this is the Marxist platform. Because as Pius XII says, the key way of, how would I say, removing religion from the family was to put the mother outside of the family. Once she leaves, it will be hard to foster a religious atmosphere. And today in the Western world, there's in most countries, developed countries, over 90% of women, definitely over 85, are working outside of the home and leaving the raising of children to someone else. As Pius XII said, to strangers. This is against the natural order. And brothers, I truly believe unless we restore our roles as leaders, protectors, and providers, we cannot flourish as men, and we cannot flourish as a church. Amen? So in the conducting of our men's ministries, most men's ministries, and not wrongly so, focus on the spiritual element for which we need much direction. But brothers, as you're doing this course, try to encourage discussion among yourselves what it means to live as a truly authentic man in today's world. Now to close on that score, in the spiritual dimension, one of the other things I've noticed about men that I think is vital, in my opinion, one of the greatest tragedies with conscientious, good Catholic men is that for whatever reason, they don't know what it is to pray to God heart to heart. More specifically, they do not know what it is to connect with their Heavenly Father as a son and to dialogue with him and to move with him as a son. Let me share, and I'll do so quickly to close, the most important truth in your life. That's not an exaggeration. The most important truth in your life as it pertains to you is that at baptism, when the Holy Spirit came down upon you and the priest recited the words of institution, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, his mark, his identity, was grafted onto your soul for all eternity. You have become who he is. And so when the Heavenly Father looks at you, he sees his son. And so those words he spoke to this son, he also says to you, you are my beloved son, and in you I am well pleased. He says that not because of what we do, but because of who we are, who we have become. And brothers, I've found in my own spiritual life, what makes prayer really happen is the moving in this father and son relationship. And interestingly enough, I don't have any children, but when I connect my heart with my son that I don't have and think about how I would want my son to respond to me, then I understand how the Heavenly Father wants me to communicate with them. At the end of each night, I want my son to say to me, Dad, Father, life is good. I am so happy to be alive. Thank you for all you have given me. I am so grateful to be with you, to spend time with you, to journey with you. And Father, I know I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, and I know that wherever we go together in the future, I know that is where I am meant to be. And so you see, we know that sounds so right, hearing from our sons, and our Heavenly Father wants to hear us say the same thing. Father, in you, I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And so, brothers, no matter where you are in life, no matter where you are, in some way, if you move with your Father, you will be exactly where he wants you to be. As you're conscientiously positioning yourself in your identity in him, he wants you to be happy where you are, but also he just wants you to be the one you're supposed to be at that moment and at that time. It would crush a father to hear from his son, "Dad, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Life isn't what I expected. Everything could be better." It's not what the Father wants to hear, nor does our Heavenly Father want to hear that. So, brothers, in our men's groups, as we continue this journey to try to grow as men, let's also consider, aside from leader, protector, provider, our interaction and our journey as a beloved son, to learn how to pray as a son to a Heavenly Father who truly is a father. And then when that love is exchanged from the Father and the Son strongly and in prayer, then you will hear and see and witness the Holy Spirit acting. Amen? Amen. Thank you, brothers. Our next speaker is from the United States, Minister St. Joseph International. Don Turbett.
Unlike the last two gentlemen that spoke, I'm more into organizing small groups. Men's ministry is very important to me. Because my first career, I was a firefighter for 21 years in the United States, and where I fight fires in the East Coast, where there are a lot of home fires and things like that, and so it's considered the most dangerous job in the United States to have is to be a firefighter, and so you need a certain amount of courage, not intelligence, because when the fire is building up, all the intelligent people run out of the building, and I'd run in. So, I don't know what that says for my intellect, but it creates a manly atmosphere anyway for men to be a firefighter. Wimps just can't make it in the fire department. So when I was on the fire department, there were no such thing as a woman firefighter. They have them now. We didn't have them then. And I also opened a few businesses in my career, and I had a couple of construction companies where there were all men working in construction. And growing up, I was in a neighborhood where we had large groups of guys that would hang around, play sports together. So I was used to a manly atmosphere. And yet, when I was about 27, I had a conversion experience. At 28, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I noticed in church, there were a lot more women than men. Too many women, for my taste. It really almost drove me out of the church, seeing so many women in the church. And I made up my mind that I really needed to do something about that. And at one point, I joined the Promise Keepers that was mentioned earlier. And Promise Keepers is an ecumenical movement. We're 90% Protestant, 10% Catholic. But they really taught you how to deal with men's ministry and things like that. And I became an ambassador for the Promise Keepers, which is an important position in a sense. And I was really into men's ministry because that's where I felt comfortable. And after doing that for a few years, they called me from the diocese and said, you know, they wanted to start a men's ministry in my diocese. So they asked for that I do the Men of St. Joseph, which I happily jumped into instead of the men's ministry. But I found that not to be a very successful ministry. As most of you have probably experienced, you get men to come, you get them all excited, you get about 100 men together, and then all of a sudden next month you get 20 men instead of 100. They all kind of drift away very quickly, and it's a very difficult ministry. And that went on for a number of years where men's ministry was just a frustration for me. And about 6 years ago, Cardinal Dziwisz in Poland asked me to do an international men's ministry. And I, because Cardinal Dziwisz, I said, of course, I'd be happy to do that. He said, I was doing men's ministry in different countries, and he said, you have to really go to Rome and get an international ministry to be doing what you're doing. So I said, sure, I'll do it. I figured a year or two later, I'd be done. It's 6 years ago, and I still haven't finished creating this men's ministry. But I have come to the place where I really see the importance of men's ministry in the church. In case, if you're from Europe or the United States, you know, only 20% of Catholics are going to Mass on Sunday. and most of them are women and children, not many men. It's a very small percentage. And this is like the most critical time in the church. We have all the scandal going on in the church. Well, the bigger scandal isn't the priesthood. The biggest scandal is the lack of men in the church. Men have wimped out. They've given up their authority. As said before, the statistics were very few fathers ever encouraged their children to be spiritual. And we need to change that. We need to be real fathers that guard our families and be our protector of our families. So I made a determination I wanted to build men's ministry. What I saw in the Promise Keepers, we used to have meetings with 50,000, 80,000 men that would get in a football stadium, and they would praise God and love the Lord. And for 10 years, Promise Keepers did that. All over the country, they'd have, you know, hundreds of thousands of men worshiping the Lord in these auditoriums. And it was just a wonderful thing. And 10 years after they started doing that, they took a survey to see how it affected the Protestant churches. And they said after 10 years of doing all this, there were no more men in leadership, no more men working in the church, and no more men in the churches. Men love to go and praise God in big groups and have a good time, but the only way it really works is in the small group. And their idea was to have the large meetings, and then they would gradually come down to small meetings. Well, it never worked. They never get to the small meetings where people's lives would change. So when I started Men of St. Joseph International, I said, we'll start with the small groups. Eventually, we'll build to something big, making people feel happier being around. But we want to change lives. And I said, fine, when we have fellowship with one another, and we really open our lives to each other as friends, it really changes our lives and changes the atmosphere around us. And we become men of God, and not just guys that want to go out and have a good time praising God together. Praising God is really important. Changing your life and becoming manly is much more important. Becoming a man of God is ultimately the most important. So I really believe that no matter what you're doing in men's ministry, you've got to have a small group of men that you're working with. I belong to four different small groups purposely because I'm forming it in many areas. And we started, like I say, 6 years ago in my diocese with this form, this new form. Now we have 22 parishes that have the same amount of meetings going on. We have the 72-hour plan, which I felt after listening to Cardinal Jeevius say, do this, I said, you know, I have two problems, Lord. I have men always say I don't have enough time to go to meetings. And the second thing is, whenever I open a men's ministry, we'd have men 60, 70, 80 years old come. Nobody under 60 would ever come to a meeting because they didn't have time. They were too busy. So I said, Lord, you got to show me how to do this. So I literally woke up one morning with that 72-hour plan that's on the sheet over there. It says where if you just go to a meeting once a month for 2 hours, anyone can do that. And then once a year, you go to a six-hour meeting in a group setting where you have a day of renewal with a speaker. And then once a year, you go away on a retreat weekend for 42 hours from Friday night till Sunday noontime. And between add all those hours up, it comes up to 72 hours. Jesus died and rose in 3 days. That's 72 hours. And the Lord told me, if you give me 72 hours a year, I'll give you a resurrected life in Christ. And I believe that, you know. Now, I don't think that's the only way we should run men's ministry. That's the way God's put it on my heart to run men's ministry, and I found it very effective. And I want anyone in the world to use the same tool, but whatever works for you, works for you. It's really important that we get men to come back and be committed men of God. We're open to all the spiritual gifts. We believe that God has given us the charismatic gifts in the church, and they should be used. For the first 800 years, if you know the history of the church, first 800 years of the Catholic Church, everyone prayed in tongues. Everyone had healing gifts, and all the gifts were operating for everyone. That was what it was to be a Catholic. Now, we've lost that, and it's been revived since 1967 in the church. So we need to take hold of what God's gifts are for us, because unless people experience some kind of power in their life, transforming power, they don't usually stay very committed to men's ministry, especially. So, you know, Father Cantalamessa is going to speak a little about spiritual, you know, being baptized in the Spirit tonight. And I really want everyone that hasn't received that gift to be open to what God wants to do in that whole area. I don't want to go over time. So I encourage you to be involved and get as many, many men. We're desperate. 80% of the men do not go to church on Sunday. You've got lots of people to evangelize, lots of things open. If we can all just get one this year, if every person in the Catholic Church that goes to church gets one this year, that's 40% next year. And the year after that, it's 80%. The year after that, we get over 100% of the Catholics back in church. 3 years, we could evangelize the whole church again. And if you stick around for three more years, we go from 1 billion to 2 billion, from 4 billion to 6. In three more years, you have the entire world giving their life to Jesus Christ. 6 years. One man every year for the next 6 years, and the world will be given to Jesus. Amen.